If you would take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This is a standalone sermon. We're taking a step away from Pastor Eric's sermon series on the supremacy of God and away from my series on the book of Philippians. And we're going to look at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray. Father, how beautiful these familiar words sound to us. And yet underneath them, Lord, there is a grace and a blessing and a power that we long to understand. Would you open your word up to us now that we may hear it, receive it, and obey it with joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Some time ago, I came across something online that someone had posted about Psalm 23. And I always thought that it would be great to turn those thoughts into a sermon, to really dig into it a little bit more. And today we get to do that. Today we look at Psalm 23. There is a reason that this psalm has become almost cliche in our minds. It is the most famous of all the psalms, and even people who never read the Bible seem to be familiar with it. I once heard a story of a pastor that did a funeral for some homeless person that had died. This individual had no family or church, but a few of his fellow homeless friends came to the graveside to say goodbye. And after the short service was done, the pastor was about to walk away, and one of the men quietly said, "Can we read Psalm 23? I thought that they always read Psalm 23 at funerals." So, of course, the pastor did. There is something comforting about it, even if we don't always know why. So today we want to take a look at this psalm a little more closely. We don't just want the warm and fuzzy feeling that these familiar words give. We want to dig in deeper and discover what's actually there, something that we can take a hold of, so that it's not just our feelings that we rest in when we read this psalm, but at the very word of God. Every phrase here is rich with meaning. Every phrase is honey from the honeycomb, and in it you will find riches that provide help in your most trying circumstances. So let's take a look at Psalm 23, phrase by phrase. And as we do, I invite you to let it build in your mind. Let it keep building in your mind until at the end you have a picture of the glory that is in this psalm. It builds as it goes. And then realize that in Christ, these realities are for you. So we start at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. That is a relationship. For many of us, God is an angry God, a frustrated God. He's frustrated with my lack of growth. And sometimes I wonder if he's out to get me. Maybe he doesn't really care. As I have heard on more than one occasion, and in some darker moments have said it myself, God's love for people is real, but not for me. I messed up. And I don't know that he really loves me. And we can become fearful before God, and we do not understand him. We can be like that frightened animal that's backed into a corner. You try to reach out to pet it, and even though that animal longs more than anything to receive that love, what does it do? It bites you, doesn't it? Oh, how badly it wants love. And it bites. Do you struggle with the love of God? Do you know that he loves you, specifically you? Because we can be like that when faced with the hand of God. We shrink back and we bite at him if he gets too close. Psalm 23 starts off by establishing a very specific relationship that God has with his children. He is your shepherd, which means, by definition, that he cares for you. He does not reveal himself as your boss, your commander, or your slave driver. He reveals himself as your shepherd. And that means, by definition, he is gentle with you. He does love you, and he will bring you all the way home. We start with a relationship. God is my shepherd. Don't forget. The next phrase, I shall not want. That is supply. The first was a relationship with God. Now we have his supply. And it was David who said that, I shall not want, meaning I have all that I need. I lack nothing. David fought bears and lions, attacked by Saul and his armies, surrounded by enemies, rejected, hunted, hungry, sleepless, betrayed, desperate. And that's just the first half of his life. All that and more, and what do we find? We find David at rest saying, I shall not want. I have all that I need. I lack nothing. I am in full supply. All throughout his life, that was his refrain. In God, I have all that I need, for God is my shepherd, and he ensures that I am fully supplied on every occasion. I'm good. I'm at peace, no matter how the storm rages in my life. Can you receive this word of God in your life today? Perhaps you are surrounded by enemies, hardships of every kind. Do you only see the waves crashing about you? Or do you know that God is your good shepherd and that in his love and care for you, he will not fail? He will not fail to supply your every need. Do you know, have you heard, that his supply is so much better than an easier road ahead? Do you long for the easier road or do you long for his supply? His supply remains full and rich no matter what your circumstances may be. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. That's rest. God is my shepherd. He is my supply, and now he gives me rest. Do you know how to rest in the care of your good shepherd? When you look around you, what do you see? A pile of bills, maybe? a rebellious child, pain in your body, troubles in your marriage or at work? Are there storms brewing on the horizon? But I ask you, are those storms greater than God? Is God's arm too short to save? Not at all. He calms the storm. He covers his crying sheep and he gives them rest. And he says to you, if you have ears to hear it, like he did to his disciples, come aside. Come over here and rest a while. No matter how troubled in heart you may be this morning, God offers you rest. He says, lay down your burdens, your heavy burdens, and take his yoke upon you. It is light. There is rest for the one who turns to him. You can put your burdens down. To repent of your sin and turn to him and put your burdens down. He will calm the storms that rage in your mind, and he will give you rest. Will you come to the great shepherd? He leads me beside still waters. That's refreshment. Relationship. Supply. Rest. Refreshment. Jesus said that he is living water, and those who come to him will never thirst. Do you drink from the well that is Jesus Christ? Or do you drink from the well of fear, of bitterness, of all the things that cannot satisfy? Where do you go to drink? Where do you go to drink? Jesus is calling, come and drink of the waters of life. Come and drink without cost and without regret. Come and be satisfied. All who are thirsty, come. The waters of Christ are more than enough for you. He will refresh you with his love. He will quiet you with his voice. This desert is no place for you. He invites you to come to the oasis and drink deeply of living water. He offers refreshment when everything around you is dry. He restores my soul. That is healing. God is the restorer of your soul. Tell me, where do you go with your sins that weigh you down? Those burdens that you carry day after day. You know what they are. Those things that have robbed you of your joy and of your life, and you can't escape from no matter how hard you try. It is only in Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd, where we can find forgiveness, healing, and the restoration for our soul. He restores my soul. Turn from your sin and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for sinners such as you and I, and the offer for healing extends to all. He restores your soul. And to all who believe, this assurance for your soul is yours. The shepherd offers you peace and restoration. And he says his sheep will hear his voice. So if you hear his voice today, do not turn away. Repent and find healing and restoration for your soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That's guidance. He is the shepherd. He is the shepherd of your life. He will lead you. How many promises in Scripture are there on this very thing? There are too many to recount here. My list just got so long. When you turn to the great shepherd of your soul, he doesn't just leave you there in your wilderness and in your confusion. He leads you all the way home. He leads you in righteousness. For those who seek him, you will have no lack. For those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. He will show you the way. And who of us has not been confused as to our way forward? God knows the way. And he will lead you through. He leads you in the paths of righteousness. And as you follow him, you will know the favor of the Lord. Can you begin to see the preciousness of Psalm 23? Let it build in your mind. Relationship, supply, rest, refreshment, healing, guidance, and next, for his name's sake, that is purpose. There is a reason that he does all of this, that he promises all of this, and it's not because you got it right, and that you deserve it, that I deserve it. There is no hope for the one who thinks that he has to earn the love of the shepherd. No, it is for his own name's sake that he ensures the complete salvation of his sheep. This is the promise that anchors all the rest. He will not allow his name to be dishonored, or for his glory to be diminished, or his faithfulness to fail. He does all of this for his own namesake, which means his love for you is guaranteed. It is sure. It is as solid as God himself. It is everlasting. It is unshakable. He has sworn by his own name that he will do it. This is the promise. The only way that he will fail his sheep is if he himself fails. That's unthinkable. The universe would be unmade. He is the sovereign God who rules over all, and he guards the glory of his name. So hear this. You are cared for, little one. You are cared for forever, guarded by the very glory of God. Did you know that? You are guarded by the very glory of God, and that will never fail. His grace is stronger than your worst sin. Look at what's next. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's testing. Death is the final enemy, the great enemy. It is the enemy that we cannot beat. You and I cannot stand or withstand the test of time. We will fall. We will fail, one and all. Each one in this room will die in time. Each one faces the cold grave. Each one of us knows, should the Lord tarry, that one day we will die and be buried under the cold earth, each one in his or her turn. It does not matter how young or healthy you are. This is the end of all mankind. We die. So make no mistake, Cornerstone, you will be tested. You are not promised a life of ease. But do not think the shepherd has abandoned you because you are going through a trial. He's the shepherd. He leads you through trials. He does not abandon his sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. He is the one who descends into the grave before you in order to give you a living hope against an enemy that you stand no chance against. The worst testing that this world has to offer is no match for our good shepherd. We all know the way into the grave. He is the one who knows the way out of it. But even though the valley of death is upon me, what does it say? I will fear no evil. That's protection. Look around you. Look at what this world has become. Look at the suffering and the wickedness. Look at it without flinching. Look it square in the face, down to the very depths of depravity. Do not hide from it. Do not deny it. And know for certain that you can say, I will fear no evil. In Christ, you are never alone. And not only are you not alone, you have with you the very God of the universe, who does not falter, who does not grow weary, who does not lose any of his own, who never fails, who has never lost a battle, and who never will. Let the forces of evil do what they do. Let the suffering be what it will be. Let the madness of the world run with reckless abandon against me. I will fear no evil. This is Psalm 23, where courage is greater than fear, where love is stronger than hate, life is more powerful than death, and God is greater than all. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Do you know Psalm 23? For you are with me. That's faithfulness. In your sickness, God is there. In your desperation, God is there. Through cancer, miscarriage, loneliness, failure, God is there. His love never fails. He is with you. He is leading you through to the other side. He is working each terrible moment that you face for your good. He is the master. He is the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. No one can stop him from turning the bad things in your life into good things. If you had eyes to see, I tell you, you would praise him with tears of joy for the terrible trial you are currently in. Because you would see what he is doing and the good that he is bringing about, and you would say, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, let it be according to your will. Lord, give us eyes to see, for you are with me. And I can face tomorrow. And I can face tomorrow after that. I can face today and the trials that are in it and more. I can face yesterday. I can face yesterday where my hurts were forged deep in my memory and have left me scarred all over. I can face yesterday. God is with you. God is faithful. And by the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be free to face your yesterday, your today, and your tomorrow. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. That's discipline. The discipline of the Lord is good. It is comfort. It is a promise and an assurance of God's love for you. He disciplines those he loves. And when we are under discipline, even though it is painful, we are walking in the assurance of the love of God for us. His discipline is right, and it is right for you. He does not leave us in our stumblings, our confusions, or our willful ways. He does not abandon us to the enemy of sin and ignorance and weakness. No, he disciplines us for our good, and under his discipline we begin to grow. We begin to have our ears opened, our eyes opened, to see the glories and the goodness of God. And suddenly we are still under his hand, and we are comforted under his chastening rod. Are you comforted by the Lord's discipline? Or do you fear it, run from it, try to escape it? Oh, find comfort in him, that you may rejoice in knowing for certain that the Father loves you. His discipline is your proof. Do not hide from it. Do not shrink from it. Do not bite that hand. Humble yourself before him and he will lift you up. The discipline of the Lord is a comfort to the heavy, burdened, and hope to the downhearted. He loves you. Will you receive the comfort of the Lord's discipline? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. In the very presence of those who hate you and seek your life, God says, come and eat. Enjoy the comforts of good food and good wine. He speaks peace to you even as the war rages all about you. As all around you, people cry out for your blood, gnashing their teeth against you, clamoring for your destruction, God says, rest. Sit down. I have set the table for you. I have invited you to come. Would you run away from such an invitation for fear of your enemies? Would you hide away and tremble? Or will you receive the invitation of Almighty God to put it all down and rest in his love, his provision, his protection? He does not deceive you with his invitation. It is no bait and switch. It is no deception. It's real. He means it. Rest. Come and eat right in the middle of the battle. It is no trick. God is not threatened or dismayed by the hatred of the world. He is with you. And his love is your perfect protection against the wars that come against your soul. More, you anoint my head with oil. That's consecration. Relationship. Supply. Rest. Refreshment. Healing. Guidance. Purpose. Testing. Protection. Faithfulness. Discipline. Hope. And now consecration. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are set apart from all the rest. You are not like the world. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are chosen. Out of nothing, you were made. And by the free choice of God, you were saved. He consecrated you. Set you apart as his own inheritance, his own treasure, his own bride. Jesus gave his life for yours. Do you still doubt his love? Do you still think that your sin is not forgiven? How long will you reject the love of the Father? Reject it no more. Come and receive forgiveness and walk in freedom, consecrated with the oil of the Lord, set apart for his purposes, for his glory, and for the praise of his name. The world and all its lusts will pass away. All of it will burn. There's nothing there for you. Only those who are consecrated in the Lord will find joy and life and freedom and more joy. Rest and rejoice in the blessed consecration of the Good Shepherd. My cup overflows. That's abundance. There is no stinginess with God. He does not supply your bare need. Remember, this is David, who often went without food. As did Paul, for that matter. And Paul says the same thing. I am content. I am well supplied. There is no stinginess with God. He does not supply your bare needs so that you have to ration his grace, so that you have to just nibble at it and remain hungry until the next meal, hoping you're going to make it. God is no miser. To those whom he pours out his grace, their cup overflows. It flows over the top of your life and makes a beautiful mess of all of it. His grace touches everything. The grace is poured out in abandon, in abundance, according to the riches of God. Not according to what you deserve, but according to the riches of God. That's abundance. It does not matter what your circumstances are. In Christ, your cup is overflowing. Learn to know the abundance of his grace, and you will never run out of joy, thanksgiving, and praise. You will never be bored or empty again. So long as you look to the world and your circumstances to fill your cup will remain empty. The only thing filling it will be your tears. Rather, receive the grace of God, and your cup will overflow with abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessing. Is your heart full yet this morning with the blessing of God? Oh, there's room for more. God will bless you now and for all the days of your life. His goodness is yours. His mercies are new every morning. If we had eyes to see, we would take them off of our bank accounts and our circumstances and all the things of this world. If we would let these transient things go, we would have room in our hands and in our hearts to receive this blessing, the favor of the Lord. Look, we have tied our joy to how things are going in our life. And then we think him small. It is not God that is small, it is us. You would ask him for more money or better circumstances and all the rest, and think that by those things you will be content. When all the while God offers you his goodness and his mercy, things for which we have so little appetite, and we miss the whole thing, we miss the blessing. We miss the joy that comes with it, thinking that it's the trinkets of the world that we want. Do you only feel his love when things are going your way? Oh, that our hearts would melt before him and receive the blessing of God. What joy and peace you would have all the days of your life, no matter what happened to you. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. That's security. His promises are sure. He will shepherd you all the way home. And there you will dwell, safe from all harm, safe from every temptation and every evil. No more sin. No more despair, no more struggle, no more hurt, no more pain. It will all be gone. You will be safe. And it is because there is a good shepherd who is taking you there, whose blood has paid the price for you, for your sins. They are gone. He is your shepherd, and he has prepared a place for you. It has your name on the door. And when you finally enter it, you will recognize it, and you will call it home. Finally, home. Forever. That's eternity. The salvation of the Lord lasts forever. These promises are forever. There is no end to your salvation. Eternal peace and joy are yours if you have believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all yours. The whole thing, relationship, supply, rest, refreshment, healing, guidance, purpose, testing, protection, faithfulness, discipline, hope, consecration, abundance, blessing, security, eternity, all of it in Christ is yours. All of it. So what now of Psalm 23? What will you do with this promise? Will you walk away from the word this morning and immediately forget, as so often happens to my shame? Will you return to your heavy heart, to your doubts and to your fears, to your sin? I plead with you, do not turn away from such a salvation as this. Do not neglect the love of a father who has called you home. Come home. Receive him. Here is the message. Repent and believe. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the free gift of salvation. And to all who receive him, he gives the right to become the children of God. This is no cliche. This is the truth. Will you receive it? Amen.